We look at all of the things that are going on in this world. Of course, you know, we had political conventions the last month or two, you know, and of course you see things of that nature. But those things are not things that some people, I mean, that's their highlight event, you know. It's the thing. This is where we decide. Here's what's going to happen. Here's how we're going to get it done. This is where we decide that, yeah. Is here in the presence of God. We decide this on our prayer closet. Here's how we're going to get things done. Amen? Then we go and meet together and say what we've heard. Say what we've heard together. We come and we pray and we hear the Lord individually, and then we come together and we share like we've done this morning. We share what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And then, you know, thankfully, you know, we'll have a word from the Lord. And hopefully it's not too long, you know. But it's all of these things. The world doesn't move us, right? The world doesn't move me. What's happening in this world doesn't move me. What's happening in the kingdom of God? Jesus, remember when John the Baptist came, and then Jesus came. When he began his ministry, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Amen? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You back up into the book, into the Torah, back up into the first five books of the Bible that Moses wrote. When Moses came to Pharaoh, and he basically said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm coming to get my people. I'm coming to get my saints." Isn't that pretty much what he said? He said, "Let my people go." So Moses came in, and then God kind of nudged Pharaoh with about 10 plagues and kind of pushed him out. And finally, I mean, you know, finally he had to do the big one. I mean, finally there's that plague of death. He lost his son. Because if you disobey God, there are consequences. Is God chasing you down? Not like it was in the Old Testament, because now the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. But the law still exists. The law still exists. Is that, you know, you step off the top of this building, what's going to happen?
You die.
Splat. You know, so there's a lot of other things that we do that are not quite as stupid, but they are as stupid. Is that we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, we go sleep around. We go eat too much. We go, you know, all of these things that we might decide to do that we thought was a good idea or might make us happy or might make us excited about life, and it's not true. The only thing, I tell you, you're built to be in the presence of God. Adam was built to be in the presence of God, wasn't he? You were built to be in the presence of God. I don't know how to get there. I just close your eyes, say, "Jesus." Close your eyes, say, "Father, thank you that you love me." You know, you don't have to go very far. You don't even have to move a foot to receive be in the presence of God. You just don't. You just don't have to move. All you say is, "Thank you, Jesus, for loving me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus." See, this is how you pray. This is how you walk with the Lord in His presence, is you just declare what He's already done. Amen? So much fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. And what's the important thing is that you encourage, you poke the guy person next to you. If you're married, that's handy. You know, just poke that person next to you and say, "Hey, remember to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this morning. Give thanks to God. Aren't we blessed?" Janet and I are driving to church talking about how blessed we are. Amen? And so we're not talking about money. We're not talking about cars. We're talking about rest. You know, most of your blessed is rest. Did you know that? Most of your blessed, I just made that up. Most of your blessed is rest, because you're just resting in His presence no matter what else is going on. You know, whether it's Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, you know, it doesn't matter. You are in the presence of God. Who's your king? Jesus. You know what? He does everything right. He doesn't mess up. He takes care of me no matter who's in the Oval Office. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Do I have a job to do? Absolutely. I have to hear God, because I'm in charge of I'm in charge of the world, because God wants His word out. And so we have to have places that we can easily preach and people who aren't stopping us. So we say, God, who should we support? Yeah. Who should we help? What godly person can I get into office?
Yeah.
What godly person? What person? Well, neither one. You know, no. Then you find out, okay, who's going to work together to bring in the godly policies?
Right.
Who's going to do that? So you do have a hand in the world, all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You do have a hand in the world. You have a hand in the world not only to preach the gospel, but to make a path so that the gospel can be preached. Because in this country, you can do that. Some other country, you can't do it. Some other country, in Iran, you can't do that. They just put you in jail, kill you, something like that, you know. Or same thing with Russia, same thing with China. But in this country, up to now, you still have an opportunity to be able to choose who your leaders are going to be if you work hard enough. But you got to ask God. You got to ask God.
Yep.
Amen. Let's look at the Bible. It's always good to look at the Bible. Open it. I mean, don't just look at it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say something? Somebody just chuckling? Amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to talk about teaching. In the Hebrew, there's a couple of words for teaching. Yara is teaching by pointing something out. By pointing, like that water tank over there. I'm going to talk about that. Or this music stand over here. Or this Bible right here. You know, I'm going to pointing it out to you. I'm teaching you by showing forth. Okay? That's yara. And lamad is teaching to goad, like pushing somebody along in the right direction. So it'd be like, you know, is you're pushing somebody along. That's more of a discipleship, isn't it? Is that you're pushing somebody along in the right direction. And of course, the Greek in the New Testament, most of in the Hebrew, yara and lamad are both the major words used to describe teaching. So that's how teaching was done. Either you point to it or you goad some, push somebody to it. In the Greek, in the New Testament, teaching is to teach by instruction. So to teach by instruction, and that's what Jesus did. He instructed his disciples, didn't he? He instructed, by and large, Jesus instructed his disciples. You had the Sermon on the Mount. You had, they would walk from place to place to place, and Jesus is teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When he rose from the dead, and then he breathed on them, and after he rose from the dead, the night he rose, he breathed on them, and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I believe they did. Now, I know they got power a few days later, but he said that night, he actually breathed on them and said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Well, the Holy Ghost or the Spirit is the word that means is pneuma, that means breath. So if he actually breathed on them, I believe he's intending to impart that Holy Spirit that night. And then he spent the next 40 days teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. So how much do you think they retained at that point? Having received the Holy Spirit, and then Jesus begins to teach. He taught them for 3 years, but so many times, you read through the scripture, so many times he said things, he taught them in parables because, you know, they didn't understand. The concepts of the kingdom of God were just like, whoop, just going right over their heads. So he would teach them in parables, but then he would teach his disciples even plainly, because for you it is given to understand the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. But even still, until the Holy Ghost was given, they did not fully understand these things. So that was 40 days after he was risen, he taught them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I mean, you talk about seminary on steroids. I mean, those guys, I mean, were learning things, you know, as drinking out of a fire hose. You know, you realize that, right? Is that when you are walking with God, it's like drinking from a fire hose. He is imparting to you such great love and wisdom so that you will impart it to the world. Amen. That's the only reason you're breathing. You realize that, right? The only reason you're here still is because you have a ministry. You have a word from God to give to somebody else. And God will is using you. Say, Jesus, just use me. Use me. Produce fruit through me. And this is how it started back. See, he started this back in the Old Testament, you know, when they were traveling through the wilderness. And he says, now, and I use this, a lot of these scriptures when I talk about, you know, when we dedicate kids, you know, doing dedication of children. You know, we're dedicating our children to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Chapter 6 says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God to keep all of his statutes and his commandments which I command you, and your son and your son's son all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Well, see, there's purpose in teaching the commandments of God and the will of God. It's not, you know, okay, keep all these commandments so you can be saved and so you don't go to hell. No, there isn't there other purpose for this, that you may be able to possess the land which the Lord gave you. Well, you know, the first land that the Lord gave you is this, your body, your person, your individual self. How many of us we have, there are things in your life that possess you? Huh? Amen. Things in this world possess us. And God says his desire is that you possess this vessel. Jesus said, it's his will that you, in patience, possess ye your soul. What's your soul? The part of you that lives in this world, sees it beside your body, your mind, your will, your emotions, the part of you that relates to everything that you do, relates to your family, relates to your job, relates to your church, relates your mind and will and emotions, how you came up in the world, what your circumstances were. That affects your soul. God, when he meets you and births you into the new kingdom, causes your spirit to come to life. You are a spirit, and you have a soul, and you live in a body. This body is going to go away. This body is going to die eventually, and your soul and your spirit will go to God. Now, while you're living in this world, if you're born again, the spirit, which is informed by God, which learns from his spirit, the Holy Spirit that indwells you, that Holy Spirit informs your soul. Now, your soul is like arguing with you. Your soul is arguing with God. Well, I don't know that I wouldn't. I might not. I might want to have 5 pancakes. You know, and God said, well, why don't you just, I'd like you to be able to get up and go preach, so why don't you just eat 2? You know, things simply like that, you know. I'm really depressed. I think having a couple of beers would be helpful. He said, well, tell you what, why don't you not have a couple of beers? Why don't you praise me? Why don't you just come into the prayer closet with me and praise me and give me thanks for all the blessing and the goodness that you have? Well, that beard, that just makes me just feel numb. You know, I don't even have to think about anything. You know, but see, so the Spirit is informing your soul of the goodness of God. And that's what we're talking about here in this chapter, because, and you remember over in Proverbs where Solomon tells his son, do this, don't do that. Well, it's not because God's got some arbitrary rules. God doesn't have arbitrary rules. He's got rules to bless. He's got rules that'll bless you. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So again, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about growing up. We're talking about growing up in this world and becoming a vessel fit for God's use. Amen. Amen. Chapter 6, again. So here are the commandments. Here they are. The statutes, the judgments. Man, that's a lot of stuff. Which the Lord your God commanded you to teach you. So he commanded you to be taught. I titled this, I don't title things usually, I titled it Back to School. Since we're kind of in that time of the year, I think Will is the only person who's got a kid in school. So he's the only one has a back to school right now, really. The rest of us got grandkids or something that are going back to school. So the Lord commanded us to teach you that you... Why did he command to teach you? That you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. So you're taught so that you can do the will of God in this land where God commanded you to possess it. You know what? God desires that his commandments and will and his love be to all of you. All God's commandments are just love. You know that, right? All his commandments are not arbitrary. They are just love. He loves you. How many know you tell your kids to do whatever you tell them to do because you love them, right? You don't tell them to do stuff because you hate them. You don't tell your kids and grandkids to do stuff because, well, here, let's see what happens if you do that, and you could laugh when they fall off the chair or whatever you might tell them to do. No, you do everything out of love. Amen. Even people in this world do things because they love their kids. Eight times out of ten. Because they love their children. And this is God loving you. So verse 2, that you might fear the Lord your God. Fear, that, I don't know about that. Yes. Yeah, that you might fear the Lord your God. That is, you might honor and reverence and have a healthy honor of that God is God and you're not. Amen? God is God and you're not. That you might fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes. The word keep is to take hold of something and to put it in your pocket. Put it in your purse. Put it in your treasure chest. That's what that keep is. Keep is not only have the idea of obedience or commandments, but to keep means to guard or to observe. That's what that word means. Satar or natar in the Hebrew means to keep it in a place that will be easily accessible to you because you will need it. Amen? So he says, fear the Lord and keep his statutes. Keep them right here. In his commandments. It's kind of like your phone. Huh? It's kind of like your phone. It's a good example of something you...
Isn't it true? I mean, if my phone got away from me, I'd be looking all over for it. Because everything's in here.
See, that's the truth about God's promises, God's word, is that your Bible, hopefully your Bible's on there too, people that bring their phones, We encourage you to bring a real Bible because there's so much else on your phone, Let's say I'm reading that scripture. Oh, there's a notification. Whoop, there. Oh, look at, so you're in the middle of the message and, everybody's, all of a sudden somebody plays a reel and it starts going loud in the room. Used to be phones would ring. Now they don't ring anymore. They boop, they either text or they got or some video starts up in the middle of the service. and you're trying to turn it off. All right, so now, to teach you that you might do them, that you might fear the Lord and keep all His statutes and commandments which I command you, and your son and your son's son. So don't let your kids get away. I let my kids decide. Don't let your kids decide. No, teach them the right, teach them godliness. Teach them that God is above all, that God created the heavens and the earth, and God created you. Amen. We're teaching. It's important to teach our children. Teach your brother. Teach your sister. You know, hey, if your mom and dad aren't Christians, teach them. Honor them, bless them, but teach them. Amen. How do you teach them? Some people, the way you teach them is by what you're doing. The way you teach them is just by love, that you love them. You keep showing up when they're acting out, when they're acting bad. You know, when they're hate, well, I'm just not going over there anymore. No, you don't get that. You don't get to do that. You remember when Jesus got in this boat, they went across the sea. He caused the sea to calm down. And so, whew, oh man, thank God we got through that sea, got through that storm. And then they end up on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden, there's this crazy wacko going up and down, running up and down the shore. He's got a demon in him. And Jesus is heading right for him. Amen? That's you. Heading right. No, not the guy, but it could be you. But Jesus is heading right for that guy. You know what? When you begin to walk with the Lord, He will lead you to that guy. God, are you sure you want me to? And the boat is coming. The boat's coming to the shore. And here He is. You know, God is leading your boat. The boat, in other words, and even the tide, you know, you thought you were going to hopefully pass him by, but the tide keeps leading you, and there he's still right there. He's keeping up with him. So what I'm saying is, there's certain circumstances that God may lead you into, and you're going to have an opportunity to say, yes, Lord. Anybody had those? You didn't want to go there. That's not where you planned on going. That was the only parking space. It was right there, you know, and you'd been driving around for 25 minutes. And God sent you right there. God brought somebody for you to minister to. It may have been somebody in your family. It may have been somebody at work. Maybe somebody you cannot avoid. But I tell you what, don't say no, Lord. Say, like Jesus, you know, said in the garden, said, nevertheless, your will be done. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Nevertheless. Right. Go kind of define that word, you know. Don't take anything away from it. Give it all to me. Don't turn down the heat. Nevertheless. Amen. Thy will be done. So that's what God may want you to do. Or He may want you to bypass it. Amen. He may want you to bypass it, but you're going to have to. You may have to hear Him. You may have to hear Him. You do have to hear Him. All right. These are the commandments, verse 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, which I command you and your son and your son's son. How long does this last? Until I graduate seminary. No. All the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Woo! Everybody say, woo! That's good. That your days may be prolonged. You know what? You get taught the Word of God, and you listen to the Word of God, and you declare the Word of God to your neighbors, your children, your kids, your friends, your brothers, your sisters. You testify, just like we did this morning. And He says that your days may be prolonged. Amen. You'll live longer. It's good. Yeah, it's healthy to be a Christian. It's healthy to be a Christian. You'll live longer. Praise the Lord. Amen. I expect to live longer. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to live a long time. I want to see more grandkids. It'd be fun. Verse 3 says, hear therefore, H-E-A-R, hear therefore, O Israel. That includes you now, because you're grafted in to Israel. If you're a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, you're born from above, He died for your sins, rose again for your justification, you've believed in Him, and you have now been grafted in to Israel. He grafted you in. Israel's still around. You need to pray for them. They're still around. You need to pray for them. That's right. You haven't replaced them. But you got grafted in. And if He's grafted you in, that must mean, if He grafted you into this vine that's called Israel, because if you're a Gentile, that is non-Jewish, and He grafted you in, that must mean this vine here is still alive. There's still life in it because He put you in it.
So that makes Israel the church the same time too, right?
That's right. Yeah. Amen. They've just been deceived up to this point. They have been blinded. You know, God tells us about that in Isaiah. He tells us about that in Paul talks about it in Romans, that they have been blinded, but they will come in. Amen. Israel will come in.
Amen.
So in this case, hear therefore, O Israel, because the church of Jesus didn't exist at that time. Hear and observe to do, that it may be well with you. That sounds good. That's good news. Hear and observe. Now, remember what I told you about keep? The other part of that word is to observe. Keep and observe. Keep your eye on it. You know, there's some things that you need to keep your eye on. Keep your eye on that meter. Keep your eye on, you know, to make sure that if nothing goes high, nothing goes low, nothing goes left or right, you know, keep your eyes on the road. Hear therefore and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you. This is pretty incredible stuff, isn't it?
Amen.
And you just get in on it. I just got in on it. You know. So the Lord has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. That is the land of Israel. It was a barren, rocky place. And when Israel moved in 1948, God blessed them. Now, is the government of Israel a godly government? Nah. they're living like the world right now. But God said, bless Israel. Israel, the covenant. Amen? God said, bless Israel, the covenant. That's what He's doing. Hear, O Lord, verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That's the Shema, you know. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So that's what you start with. I said, that's what you start with. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words, now this is where I start with the kids, teaching the parents about raising your kids up. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently. How? Diligently. That means regularly. That means with intent, that they might not forget them, but in fact they will get it. And shall talk of them when you, and here's how you do it. You will talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lay down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. They used to have something called a phylactery. The priests used to do this. They would still do it. They would have this pouch, and that with a strap around it, a string. And what they would do, the Pharisees would go out, and they would, in fact, somehow they got started out like a little bitty tiny scroll in a little bitty tiny pouch about that big. But somehow over the years, they just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And so that when people would, these Pharisees would walk around, the people who were proud of their godly stuff and wanted you to know more than what was in the pouch, they just wanted you to know they had a pouch. And it's a big pouch. So it's like something you dressed up in to let people know how godly you were. And I mean, these things would get this big. I mean, it would take up most of your forehead. Just because of this scripture. Put them as frontlets between your eyes. It says here, verse 8, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 9, and you shall write them upon the posts of your house and on your gates. Okay, you remember some of your Jewish movies, you know, and shows, is that on the door, they'd had a little device right up here, and it contained a little roll piece of scripture. It's called a mezuzah. And when people would go in and out, you've seen this, they reach up and touch that mezuzah as they're coming in and as they're going out to remind you of the scripture. Now, after about 5 times, you probably forget what you're doing. Amen. But God says to remind you. They do all these things to remind themselves that this is the Word of God, and you should walk in it. You should walk with it close to you. Amen? And so that's what we do. We want to walk close to the Word of God. Every time we come in, every time we go out, we say, God be praised. God be praised. Lord, thank you for this wonderful food. Thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful... Get in your car. Start it up. Punch the button. Say, thank you for gas. Thank you, Jesus. And you're thanking God every time, every step you take. Father, put your feet in your shoes and say, God, thank you for the shoes on my feet. God, thank you. Remember to thank Him. Amen? Remember to remember Him. So you're teaching people, your children, not just your children, but you're teaching everybody. How many know you're a teacher? You're a teacher wherever you go. Everybody needs to go back to school. You're a teacher wherever you go. Well, I don't have the gift of teaching. Yeah, you do. You teach by demonstration. You teach by example. You teach by showing the goodness of God. Okay, verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land. Now you're born again. You're in the land, right? You're born again. You're in the land. You don't have to get to heaven. You're born again. You're in the land. Shall have brought you into the land which he sware to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities which you builded not. You didn't build this righteousness, did you? You didn't build your righteousness. You didn't build your goodness. God did that. And houses full of good things which you filled not, and wells dug which you dug not, and vineyards and olive trees which you planted not, when you shall have eaten and are full. I'm full. Are you? I'm full. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God gave us, God provided all of this stuff. Somebody's going to say, well, that's not right. No, you couldn't do it. You had no capacity. That's why God did this. He gave them a law. He told them to keep the law. He knew they couldn't keep the law. He made them a promise. In fact, watch this. He gave them a law, but also didn't he keep it? Because he gave them the sacrificial system as a type and a shadow of the Savior to come. He gave them even what they needed to continue to live, to continue to carry out these sacrifices, looking forward to the Messiah. That's what that was all about. But he made them a promise, and all the promises were still in effect. So the promises of God are yes and amen. But in the fullness of time, as the New Testament teaches, Jesus was born of a virgin. And he lived a perfect life. They hated him. He was hated by his own. His own came to his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, gave him the power to become the sons of God. He was crucified. He rose from the dead. He entered into glory and sent the Holy Spirit to live in the inside of me, to dwell on the inside of you. And he gave you houses full of good things which you filled not, and wells dug which you dug not, vineyards and olive trees which you planted not, when you shall have eaten and are full. Eat. Verse 12, he says, then beware lest the Lord which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. Wow. That's just a suggestion. It's a command, isn't it? Why is it a command? Because he wants to care for you. He wants to take care of you. He wants you to not die. He wants to, in fact, fill you with all of it, all the promises that he just talked about in the land that you go to possess it. Amen. So how do you possess it? But not by following other gods. You know, that's what Israel did time after time after time. We have great examples of how they followed other gods. Oh, look over there. Let's go over here and get one of these. Get this popsicle. Amen. Let's get one of those. But God said, but no, that's a trash. Let's get that cheese, little mouse. Let's get that cheese. Look, a piece of cheese. Let's go get it. Snap. Oh. I just lost an arm. I just lost my head. Because we walk in foolishness. We walk in things that God said don't do. Well, let's just try this out. No. You know, and we're not even talking about evil sins. You know, the kinds we call wicked sins. How about just sins that are just, you know, dumb sins? You know, the kind that just eat up all of my time and all of a sudden nothing got done. And all of a sudden, I didn't do my taxes, and all of a sudden I got billed $20,000. You know, there's lots of things we do. There's lots of things we put off. Teaching our kids, teaching our friends. Verse 13, again, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and swear by him. Why? Because he's a megalomaniac and he's got to have a lot of kudos. Does God need kudos from you? No. He desires to give you all things. And he desires to keep you out of all trouble. Amen. You shall not go after other gods, gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord your God is a jealous God. Verse 15, Deuteronomy 6. He's a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as you tempted him in Massah. 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord and his testimonies and his statutes which he has commanded you. Put a little note there. Read Psalm 119. Psalm 119, right next to verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes. Among other things, all of the verses in Psalm 119 have to do with the Word of God. Verse 18, and you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, that you may go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware to your fathers, and to cast out all your enemies before you, as the Lord has spoken. And when your son asks in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his house before our eyes. And he brought us out from there. Isn't that good? He brought us out. God brought you out. He brought you out. Are you out? No, I went back. No, don't go back. Stay out. Which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good. Wow. To fear the Lord our God for our good. Always. That he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we... It shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord God as he has commanded us. It's your righteousness. Well, what's the command of the New Testament? Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent just means turn around, change your mind. It means turn and change your mind from what you've been thinking, from how you've been thinking. Change your mind to this. Repent, turn around, and what? Believe. A few other scriptures. Now, therefore, now talk about teaching, right? We're talking about the first thing we're talking about today is the importance of teaching. Teaching your children. Teaching your neighbor. Teaching your friend. Now, later on it says, we'll no longer have to teach our neighbor because we have the Holy Spirit. But the world, he says, teach all nations, doesn't he? Exodus 4, verse 12 says, now therefore, go, and I will be with you. I will be with, Moses. Go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. God will be with you. He says, go, I will be with your mouth. I love that. I will be with your mouth. It'd be good that God would be with our mouth, wouldn't he? Keep our mouth. Keep our lips from speaking guile. Things to help us. You know. Verse 15 says, and will teach you what you should do. So he's going to teach you what you should say, and he'll teach you what you should do. Chapter 4, verse 2. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. Here's a prophecy, is that many nations will come. That's us. Most of us, at least. Those who aren't Jews, those who aren't, you know, of the house of Judah. He says, many shall come, many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the house, mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Amen. Mark 6, 34. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people and was moved with compassion. That's you. Well, that was Jesus then, but now it's you. Amen? And Jesus, when he came out, he saw much people. What happens when you see people? He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to, what did he begin to do in response? What's his compassion? He began to teach them many things. He began to teach them many things. Luke 11:1. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased teaching one of his disciples, said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say. And he began to teach them the Lord's Prayer. Jesus would always be teaching, always be available. Amen? I know Raul is more available than most people would like to teach. Amen. He is available. Amen. Wouldn't you like to be Cynthia? But Cynthia's in on it. She gets blessed by it. Amen. And she'll tell him when it's wrong. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, brother, are you sure? But, I mean, you know, you're prepared. Even if you're not a teacher, capital T, you still can teach because you have the knowledge of the Word of God. Just a couple more here. Luke 12:2, Jesus said, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And finally, in Jeremiah 31, but this will be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their heart, inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and we be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Hey, you. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. God wants us to continually teach these things because they transform us, change us, and make us into His image in this world so that we might win people to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? So, thanks for going back to school with me. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.